Well, we're finally getting to do some talking travel, Sal. It's been a couple of weeks, hasn't
it?
I'm
out of practice. I just feel it's been forever.
I know.
Two public holidays in a row. Yeah, it's unusual.
Nice break, though.
I missed it, though. I was in a bit of a lost cause.
Not a break from you, just a break in general.
In general.
Now, today, what are you saying? We're going to Egypt?
Yes, we're going to talk about the new Grand Egyptian Museum, which is quite spectacular, I believe, and it's been on the go for quite a number of years and quite a lot of delays, and it's cost billions. And then we'll also have a little chat about a lovely tour of Dalmatia and Dalmatian area, should I say, covering Croatia and Slovenia.
Lovely. All right. Yeah. Well, we look forward to that. You're going to talk. I'm going to listen and interject where necessary.
Okay. All right. I'll let you interject today, seeing as we've been missing in action for
two weeks. That's right. Okay. So start with Egypt.
Egypt, yes. So what we're going to talk about here is the Grand Egyptian Museum, or just calling it GEM. The GEM.
Oh.
So, and its estimated cost to build this megalithic institution has exceeded $1 billion. Mm. But it's welcoming visitors for the first time this year from the 3rd of July. So it has been quite an incredible build because it's just been dedicated to, I guess, this legendary, you know, Egypt to me conjures up all sorts of images. And even when I was in my teens into 20s, I just was fascinated by Egyptology and read any book that was about the pharaohs and, you know, novels and all of that. And I think it's still such a fascinating part of the world. And they're still discovering tombs. You know, it's really amazing. So this is going to be quite incredible because it is that it's nearly four millennia later that they've now got this museum to still showcase all these things that they didn't have a big enough, you know, museum prior to this to be able to showcase a lot of the artefacts.
It'll be amazing to see.
Oh, it will be. And there's three, I think it's, I forget how many artefacts there are, but I think it's over 5,000 just from the legendary boy king, which is Tutankhamun.
Wow, I wonder how long it would take to get through it.
Well, I imagine you probably wouldn't get through it all. It's probably like the Louvre. Yeah. You know how you can't get through the Louvre? It's impossible. You'd have to pick a section and concentrate on that section or one or two sections, I would imagine. Like the Smithsonian Institute as well in America.
Massive.
It's massive. So I think I only saw two sections the day I was there. So, yeah, these sort of museums are just amazing, as we all know. But it's encompassing a massive 490,000 square metres with over 100,000 ancient artefacts that span 7,000 years of Egyptian history. So this is really amazing. And one of the highlights is a spectacularly preserved 100-foot-long bark that was found buried near the Khufu Pyramid. Amazing, isn't it? Mm. You think how far back we're looking, and here's this bark that's still almost intact.
And how do they work out how old it is?
They have a way of doing it. It's a whole other story, and I know there is a way of carbon dating and all that they can do, but I don't know, so don't get me on that one. But the main galleries are divided along four eras. You've got pre-dynastic and Old Kingdom, Middle Kingdom, New Kingdom, and Greco-Roman. So you've got those four sections that it's going to be divided into. But it's taken more than 20 years for them to build this, so it's been a long time coming, and it was due to open various different times but had setbacks causing delays, which, you know, as we all know, whenever there's anything happen over there, everything just has to stop for a while. So that's fine. But more than 1,550 architecture firms from 83 countries have helped build and create this, and they reckon it is just amazing. And it's the first time that King Tut's artefacts have all been displayed together ever.
That's amazing.
So, you know, when
it's
you think about that.
To go and see.
And his tomb was discovered in 1922 by the British archaeologist Howard Carter. So, unlike most of the tombs which were looted over time, Tutankhamun's burial chamber was found almost intact. So that's where it is different. So they've been spent months cataloguing all these items and riches and statues, death marks, furniture, chariots, jewellery, you name it. So it's just going to be so incredible, I think. So anyone who's, you know, thinking of going to Egypt, now would be the perfect time to be able to view this incredible, you know. And please do not go in the summer months. You'll die of the heat.
That's right.
You need to go, like, in our summer when it's their winter. So, and, you know, I know a lot of people had awful heat stroke by going there at that wrong time of the year and not drinking enough water or not having enough shade on their head and, you know, big hats and all that sort of stuff. So please, yes, even though it's opening in July, don't go in July, August. I'd certainly be waiting till at least the end of the year or into early next year.
It will be probably quite busy as well.
Well, it will be, obviously. It will be. So you've just got to consider that. But it's even like 3,500-year-old sandals with tattered soles and missing beading, but they've been restored. They've worked out how they were. And I think it's just going to be mind-blowing.
Mm, hopefully they've got tight security.
I'm sure they would have. Mm. I'm sure they would have. But the, as I said, it's incredible, the whole museum. It's got a soaring glass-roofed atrium as well that had to be built around this massive statue, which is of King Ramses II, which is 36 feet high and weighs 83 tons. So, you know, the whole thing is just going to be mind-boggling. It's hard to even imagine, isn't it, to picture it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, certainly if it's on your agenda to go to Egypt, consider it, you know, now, particularly that you've got this wonderful collection of everything in one spot.
There you go. Another one to my bucket list.
Oh, we keep adding to it, don't we?
No, I don't think I'll get to all of them through
lifetime. But it's nice to add them, isn't it?
And
just have a little think and a dream, and that might stir you up to read again about some Egyptology or read a book about something that just stirs the imagination. You can picture yourself there even if you're not going there.
Exactly. All right, yeah. Well, next we'll talk about Croatia and Slovenia.
Yeah, why not?
I'll add that to my bucket list as well. And we're going to Slovenia or Croatia first?
Well, we're just going to Dalmatia in general.
So what's Dalmatia?
Well, Dalmatia is an area that contains the Dalmatian coast. You talk about like the Aegean coast or the Costa del Sol in Spain or whatever. So it's an area where it was once Yugoslavia and is now broken up into all these different countries like Bosnia and Herzegovina, Croatia, Slovenia, etc. Yeah,
gotcha.
So that's the area we're on. So we're opposite Italy, on the opposite coast of Italy.
I know where we are now.
So you know where you are?
Yes.
That's your first lesson in geography for today.
Thank you.
Anyway, it's also called the Adriatic Coast, Dalmatia. It's
gotcha.
Yeah, the Adriatic
I've heard
Sea.
Of the Adriatic
yeah, so,
coast.
Yeah. But this is a beautiful itinerary if you're interested in doing this. And there are departures both, still some left for this year with a few vacancies on it. They run from up until October this year and start up again in April next through to October next year. Now, this is a small group tour that only takes 20 people, which, again, is wonderful. And you're just going to love the scenery of these places because, one, it was Yugoslavia that was always defined as all of Europe in one country. Of course, it had everything there. It had lakes, it had mountains, it had the beautiful coastline. So you could pick parts of every country in Europe and it was all plonked in Yugoslavia. So now it's scattered throughout all these countries that were once part of Yugoslavia. So you're going to see some absolutely stunning, stunning scenery. Lake Bled, which is nestled between some beautiful mountain peaks and lake and forests. The Plitvice Lakes, which are just considered incredible with all these cascading waterfalls of these hues, all different colours of a lovely green and a blue and a grey colour. And then you've got all the old towns of the Ottoman Empire. Mostar, which is famed for its iconic ancient bridge. You've got the cobblestone streets of Dubrovnik. Mm. And of course, you've got the different food, which is different. And also Sarajevo, you go into Sarajevo, you visit the traditional gingerbread museum to learn which is in Bled, to learn the history of that wonderful little honey bread decorated little house, I guess that's the right word.
Yes.
The gingerbread, when you build the house. I mean, you've got a gingerbread man, but a lot of people build the little house for Christmas.
Yeah.
And that's done a lot over there in the Christmas time. You go into an alpine dairy farming museum to learn about the life of the herdsmen and everything through that time, and you get to taste locally produced cheeses. You get to do a relaxing cruise on a raft down a beautiful river, and then you have local wine with snacks, etc. You go into Zagreb, which again it's in Croatia, and it's an incredible city in itself, which is on the southern slopes of one of the main mountain ranges there, on the banks of the Sava River. And the city dates back to 1094. And it's architecturally a mix of Austro-Hungarian and socialist structures, but it's got an old town as well. So you've got that. Sarajevo, of course, as we all know, that was famous for one of the Winter Olympics, so you can still go and see the stadium there. Also, they do some lovely delights of Sarajevo on a gourmet walking tour as well while you're there. We've mentioned, of course, Dubrovnik, which is just a beautiful walled city, as I said, with your cobblestone streets, etc. You go into Hvar, which is a lovely island. It's a very popular island just off the coast. So you get a chance to see what these beautiful turquoise waters of the Adriatic are like and experience island life, which is beautiful. And then you get a ferry across to there and also then back to Split, which is on the Croatian part of the coast as well. And Split was first settled all the way back in 639 AD. So this is a very old area you're going to.
It'd be amazing to see.
Stunningly beautiful and, you know, beautiful buildings, lakes, as I said, waterfalls. You've just got everything there. So if it's not an area you've considered travelling to before, it is really very beautiful. And Ljubljana is another lovely place you can go to as well, which is always considered one of the most picturesque towns in Yugoslavia, but now it's in Slovenia. So it's just a wonderful part of the world if you've not been there. Now, this is a land tour, but of course, if you don't want to do a land tour, there are beautiful options to do sailing down that Adriatic coast too, from anything from like a yacht, you know, to a small, like a cake that they call C-A-I-Q-U-E. It's a type of vessel, sailing vessel. They only take sometimes, you know, anything from 10 to 16 passengers, which again is a lovely way, and you're just nudging the coast all the way down and just you're ashore all the time because you're not out in open waters, so to speak, you know. So if coach travel isn't your thing, you've got that option of sailing that area as well because it's just stunningly beautiful.
Well, I think I'm going to put the Adriatic coast above Egypt now.
Oh, good.
On my bucket list.
Okay, go home, so, rearrange your bucket list in the correct order.
And what did you call it? Dalmatian
coast. Dalmatian coast.
Dalmatian. Okay, that's easy to remember.
As in
it's
your dog.
Yeah. Why? Because it's just like spotted with different countries. That's a good way to remember it.
Well, that's your way of remembering it. Stick with it.
The Dalmatian coast.
Dalmatian coast.
Got it. So all right. Well,
another lovely place to add to your bucket list if it's not already on there.
I will add it. And next we've got hot deals.
We are. So I think everyone's list has Japan on it at the moment. It has become the flavour of the month.
I've heard it's a new Bali.
Oh, almost. There's so many Australians going there. One of the girls at work has just gone with her brother. And then she's only just back and now her parents have gone. So they got so excited about their trip. So it is, and what they're doing, one of the companies is now giving you next year's tours at this year's prices. So that's good.
That's great.
That's good because as we all know how everything goes up. Mm. Nothing goes down.
Nothing does.
So this is a 13-day itinerary, but they obviously have shorter ones if you don't have the 13 days. But the 13 days is going to get you to all those iconic areas, like obviously Tokyo, Mount Fuji, Kyoto, Nara, Osaka, and of course Hiroshima, as well as other places as well. But you're visiting, you know, lots of lovely shrines, temples, you're getting authentic cuisine, which is interesting. You're immersing yourself in the Japanese culture. Everyone that goes, as soon as I ask them, you can see their face light up. Oh, I loved it. Oh, it was fantastic. Haven't heard one negative comment about the people are wonderful, you know, the food's fantastic, you know, just everyone's eyes are out on sticks almost. Mm. And there's so much more to Japan too. Even if you don't just want to do all the cities, you can get a rail pass, you can go around, you can stay at onsens, you know, a traditional accommodation. They've got beautiful forests, you can do walking tours, cycling tours, you can go up with visit the snow monkeys, the beautiful deer down in Kyoto that you can go into the deer forest and pat a deer, and you know, there's just so many options for you. And of course it's an archipelago of islands, so there's some wonderful cruises that circumnavigate Japan as well and do all the islands. But yes, we're going back to this land ones, but anyway, that's really great because it's obviously going there in cherry blossom time, which is your end of March into April time, so that's a wonderful time of the year to go. So yeah, hop in, and offer ends 30 June, but obviously the sooner you get in the better before the tours fill up, obviously, because they've got limited numbers. Also, we were talking Egypt today, and there's a lovely couple of cruises doing the River Nile on I just think that would be wonderful. I can have an image of floating down the River Nile. It just conjures up things for me, but everybody's different, but I have images in my head all the time. So, of course, you're going to visit, you know, celebrated sites like the Great Pyramids, Abu Simbel, the Valley of the Kings, and all this is sailing in an absolute luxury all-suite vessel going down the Nile. You were just sitting there floating down the Nile with a cocktail in your hand at sunset. I just think, and looking at what's happening on the rivers as you go along, I just think it'd be amazing.
I would, although Agatha Christie comes to mind.
Like when I talk about the Orient Express, yes, you say the same.
I know.
But look, honestly, of course, with this new museum opening in July, of course, you've got the opportunity when you're in Cairo to be able to visit that museum. And with these cruises as well, you have got the option, if you so wish, to extend your stay in Cairo if you want at the end, or go into Jordan. Again, I haven't been into Jordan. I'd love to go there. I'd love to see Petra. And it just looks, again, another area that's fascinating.
So maybe your next holiday.
It could be. I've got a friend who's over there at the moment. She was just blown away, like travelling. She's been in travel like me all life. But again, it hadn't got to Jordan. And again, just so old. We just can't imagine when we look at how old we think our things are here, and you go into somewhere like Egypt or Jordan or a lot of these other countries and it's so ancient and it's still there.
We're just a baby.
It's still there. That's what gets me, you know, intact. Mm. Amazing. Anyway, I diverge a bit.
Easy to do.
Pernod, their lovely French cruise company, have got 2026 Asia and Pacific voyages available now, and they have up to $4,000 per savings on a range of their cruises, and 10% if you do your second or third voyage, they'll offer you an additional, and they've got incredible cruises all, as I said, all around Asia, New Guinea Islands, the Kimberley Coast, you know, a whole stack, which is just incredible. Also, the Douro River, Portugal, that's another very interesting one that people are really enjoying now, that whole area of Portugal with your beautiful wineries and old towns again. I think rivers, again, just wherever they are, you're getting that way of life that has been forever, which I think is always interesting. Now, this is up to $1,400 per person save, and you can book it with Travel Marvel up until November 30 or until sold out. And you can save up to extras, of course, around different other times of the year. The discount does vary depending on the time of year and obviously the availability. And that cruise is an 8-day cruise, which is a lovely short little one that you could add on to whatever else you're doing in Europe. And also, if you book by 30 June, Viking, who we've talked about before, for a limited time, they've got 30% on selected river and ocean voyages, virtually on any of their cruises, again, subject to availability. This year's, look, honestly, with most companies now on the cruise market, they're virtually all sold out. But certainly look ahead, look for next year, really. And that's, I think you're at that point now that if you haven't booked for this year for Europe, we're already almost in the season now. We're into May.
Yeah, it's time.
So, yeah, I mean, you may get something this year, but rather than be disappointed, put it off for a year. You can save a bit more money that way. Mm-hmm. Plan it a bit better, you know, add more in, add some extras in, and you've got plenty of time then to take advantage of some early bird savings, which you've missed out on already for this year. So I think thinking ahead, planning ahead is a great way to go.
And a good way to save.
Yes, absolutely.
That's
No one minds a saving or a bargain, do
they? That's right.
Especially Kev Calloway. Yeah. He loves a bargain.
We all love a bargain. So that's all our hot deals
that's
for today.
That's
all. Well, there's plenty. There's plenty there to choose from. And hopefully we can have more next week.
Yes, hopefully you'll have some more hot deals coming your way in the next couple of weeks. And I'll see you soon because I'm heading back to Perth.
Well, have fun in Perth and we might be chatting to Barry next week.
Yeah, Barry might be popping in to share some of his little highlights of whatever.
Sounds good.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.